All right, everybody. How's it going? Final podcast of the year, 2012 Gloves Off Radio. It is Ian. Joining me, as always, is Mike. How are you?
Oh, this is day four of 104 of stupid.
Interesting. Also, go ahead. You want to finish your joke, or?
Just start this fucking thing over.
No, that's good. We'll leave it. That's fine. Also joining us is Ken.
All right. Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, not much. So in case everyone has been wondering what's going on, or at least where we've been in the shadows getting ready to kind of do a show, but every time we think there's some news, whether it be close to a deal or everybody huffing and puffing and storming off, then the news kind of changes, so it's tough to kind of get a show together when it's just a whole bunch of crybabies yelling back and forth and walking
away.
Yeah,
we're basically waiting for something real to happen, you know, instead of all these false alarms.
False alarms and schedule cancellations for 14 days at a time.
Yeah, that's why I didn't take any of that serious that was reported today.
And let's not forget the podium, the magic podium. Better. That was supposed to bring us that deal that we've been waiting for and get it out of here. They changed their minds. No, wait, roll it back in.
That was a fun few hours when the NHL podium was trending on Twitter and it had its own account and it was fun there for about 8 hours. And yeah, then I haven't seen it since.
Its last tweet was, guys, I'm getting dizzy. Make up your minds.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be seeing it again soon, one way or the other.
And then finally it just became another reason why the NHL is such a joke.
Yeah, it just became another graphic for their ineptitude. An empty podium with three workers rolling it back out of a conference room.
Polishing
it off like it's a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, pushing it around with white gloves on.
You've seen a lot of that, and a lot of reporters getting their picture taken with show how seriously the whole thing is being taken. But, so here we are. It is December 28th, if I have my calendar here correctly. So I guess where we are now is the games or the schedule has been canceled up until the 14th, I do believe. That will be the last cancellation, obviously. So either we're going to be playing shortly after that, or there will not be a season. I guess we talked a little bit about this off the air, but Ken, do you kind of want to do a quick kind of rundown of the events we've just had, or kind of just want to get into the events of today that'll kind of, I guess, end up gelling or meshing everything together anyway?
Yeah, well, basically, like I said, I just skimmed a few of the highlights of the proposal because I don't have the time or interest in listening to or reading a four-page document about a proposal that the players are just going to thumb their noses at anyway. But, you know, the most important thing I saw was that they were guaranteed a three-day Christmas break. So that's huge.
Yay!
And ice time restrictions and days off during camp. So that's those are both very important things.
Are they worried about that this year since it'll be a week?
Well, yeah, they get one day off for the week. And Christmas break obviously doesn't count this year. They've had an extended Christmas break. 104 days so far.
Well, apparently you were the lucky one, Ken, because the printout of the quote-unquote highlights of this proposal was four pages, as you noted. But apparently the actual document sent to the union today by the league was, I believe I read on Twitter, over 280 pages of documents.
Oh, yeah, that's where the good stuff was.
Yeah. So this is the Reader's Digest, apparently, or at least the good league portions of it. You know, I guess before we get into that, do you guys just kind of want to talk about what your general feelings have been during the course of the lockout? I mean, have you been missing the games? Have you just found something else to do with your time, whether it be, you know, Mike with the kids, or I guess Ken, you have a daughter as well, but you just drinking more, going out more, spending your money elsewhere? What are you guys doing?
I have found that my interest has dropped by the day to the point where right now it's just comical to me. I mean, when it comes back, I'll obviously watch on television, but I am not going to send one dime to any sort of NHL-related items or tickets or anything along those lines. because somewhere a message has to go out that, you know, they can't just keep doing this. But as far as my day-to-day life, you know, I watch a Wolves game when it's on, and, you know, other than that, it's just I'll watch other TV shows.
Mike, how about you?
Well, here's an example. My wife told me today, why are you doing a show? There's nothing going on. I was like, well, show them what you know. She just rolled her eyes. Yeah, like they're going to play.
Well, there's plenty of legalese to go over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, just because there's no skating going on, that doesn't mean that there's no bickering.
Yeah. Well, I'm angry with it, but I'm not like I was in the last lockout where it's going to be, no, I ain't watching them. Pricks when they come back. Yeah, I'm going to watch them. This year, I'm only going to probably protest this year as far as going to games, if there are any. But I'm just not getting, you know, I was actually getting a little geeked up for it when they did bring up the podium for the first couple hours. The podium pissed me off. Ever since then, it's like, whatever you guys say, just shut the fuck up. Just get something done. You know, I do miss it just because it's like, oh, you know, I'm not a huge football guy either. I mean, I like to watch the Bears, but I ain't going to sit there and watch, you know, what was I watching one day? Titans and the Jets or something? I'm like, what's this, the shit bowl?
Oh, that was the Monday Night Football game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm like, that's a shit bowl. What the fuck? So I'm like, you know, and especially after a Bears game, I talked to a few of my buddies about this. Like, you know, after a Bears get their ass kicked on a Sunday, you can always count on a Hawks game on Sunday night or watching another game on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think I think that's the one thing that is kind of missing. That's the only time that I really notice it lately, is that it did become kind of a routine. You know, you knew you had one probably on Wednesday, and then you'd have a road game on Saturday usually, and then a home game either at 3 or at 6 on Sunday. So you could kind of wrap up your weekend with a little hockey, you know, and that part of it is the part that's kind of an emptiness, you know, if there is one.
Well, the part I love the most was like on weekends, Fridays or Saturdays, I'd be at my neighbor's house or I'd be at home. We watch the Hawks and they play a regular 6 or 7 o'clock game. And after that, you turn on NHL Network and you might catch the Sharks or the Ducks playing the Red Wings or something. You know, to me, that was a whole night. I was like, dude, we got a Hawks game and we got another one right after? Great.
So yeah, at this point, I'm torn between wanting them to just fuck the whole season, so that, you know, that can be another embarrassment for Bettman and maybe something will change. And, you know, the obvious thing where it would be nice to see some hockey, you know, because, you know, what I'm watching it on Sunday afternoons is either poker or bowling, you know what I mean? So it would be nice to have another option out there, like an NBC game on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon.
Who watches that shit?
Hey, if it's a choice between that and the Bears, I'm watching poker and bowling.
Oh, yeah, I know, Packer fan.
Yeah.
I guess
the nice thing is Bears fans have to root for the Packers this weekend.
Actually, I don't, because I don't want them to make the playoffs. I want to make sure everybody gets fired.
There are a fair amount. But, you know, the thing is, it's kind of naive to think that that's going to be enough, because Virginia McCaskey, for whatever reason, just adores Lovie Smith. And I think he'd have to go 1-15 to get the gate, really.
Do we have to start rooting for her to die?
Well, you know, look what happened after Dollar Bill.
Yeah, she's not as bad as Dollar Bill, but really, I mean, do we got to start rooting for her to start to just keel over?
Well, there's a lot of family there. Yeah, and do you have any...
all retards.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have any faith that there's a Rocky Wirtz in there anywhere?
I don't know. They're saying George has potential.
Well, as a Packer fan, I hope Lovie Smith never loses his job.
Yeah. Coming from the guy.
Right, back to the nothing that's going on. Enough Bears talk.
Well, I was gonna say, my standpoint. Obviously, I've enjoyed not having to pay for the games at this point. That's good. At least from my perspective, the ticket holder.
You've not yet gotten a refund.
Correct. I've only gotten a refund for the preseason games, the three non-played preseason games. And then whenever they've sent out the This is the Blackhawks now. whenever they've sent out like a, well, it's not a press release, it's like an email to the ticket holders. And after the first initial couple of waves of cancellations, the reason why they claimed they weren't going to give you any more money back was because of the fact that the team had not yet been notified by the NHL that there was no longer a possibility for a full 82-game season. So that was the reason they were claiming as to why they were not going to refund any of your money. And then,
even though every story that comes out says that it's impossible to play an 82-game season.
Correct. Now, within the past probably two cancellations, I would think when they cancel, if I recall correctly, it was obviously definitely this last one with the up until January 14th, and I know it was gone on the one that did up until, was it 29th or 30th, somewhere in that range. So within the past couple, they've removed it, and now it's just basically, you know, now there's basically no reference at all to a refund whatsoever outside of just saying that, you know, your money is still gaining interest, the 2% interest at the offering.
Yeah, 2%. Where are you going to spend that?
Well, you know, it's funny. It was my tickets are now $49 a piece, so the refunded game is $98. So when I got my three preseason games refunded, it's $288 for the tickets for the games, and I got 10 cents of interest.
Wow.
Exactly, which was...
What'd you do with it?
Well, it was actually just credited to my credit card, so I nothing, I guess. I didn't really do anything.
Next time you go over and I guess, covered.
Exactly.
That's right. You put in $25.10, live it up.
Yeah, so I'm kind of going to be probably torn a little bit, especially when it comes to if they do play, in terms of, well, you know, I've already paid, so I either don't go and eat the money, you know, basically, you know, I've already paid, so you don't go and eat the money. Or at least you go, at least get some kind of enjoyment, you know, you get some fun, you know, some type of fun out of it. Maybe you get your calendar or bobblehead or whatever the fuck they're going to give away to try to get people to come back to the games.
So yeah, I'm sure they'll spray gifts at you to try to make you forget
what happened. Yeah, t-shirts and hopefully towels to wave and dance and all that great stuff like
maybe
that.
Maybe a foam finger.
Yeah, there you go.
I got Tommy a finger. A foam middle finger bring it with to the game.
But I guess, you know, from a larger perspective, one of the things that always kind of, because we've had so many recent waves of lockouts and strikes, you know, whether it be the NBA or the NFL, now the NHL again within the past couple of years here, is that whenever they start, there's always so much bluster and how much change is actually going to come from these things. You know, they're going to, like in the NBA, I don't know if you guys follow the NBA that much, but, you know, they were going to go from this luxury tax thing to a hard cap, and, you know, that was going to be the quote-unquote hill they were going to die on. They weren't going to play unless they got that hard cap, but then in the end, they just gave in, no hard cap, but just kept things the way they were. And that's kind of the same way that the hockey thing has kind of started out. You know, they were trying to get the players below 50% hockey-related revenue. Right. Everyone knew it was going to end up at 50%. We've wasted half or potentially the whole season to get to where everyone knew this was going to be 4 or 5 months ago. And to me, I guess I'm trying to cut you off, Ken, but to me, at this point, it's just you've already burned 4 months of the season, possibly the whole thing. Just burn the whole thing and get it right this time, or burn 2 years and get it right. Because this is so ridiculous. It's like if you're going to try to make these wide sweeping changes that to make sure that GMs and, you know, these crazy agents out there can't get around the system, just fix it once and for all and get it done right.
Well, the frustrating part about it is...
You get Bettman out.
Well, and the frustrating part is Bettman or no Bettman, you know that's not going to happen. You know that the final result is going to be about what everybody predicted it was going to be before it ever happened. So all they did was just embarrass the league, hurt their reputation, you know, anger their only customers, and just they've just shot themselves in the foot again. And nothing's going to change because basically all they're trying to do is legislate protection against themselves. And what will happen is whatever rules are put in place, whatever restrictions, you know, like whether it be contract years, whatever it is, they're going to find another way around it. And they're going to dig themselves another hole that they're going to expect the players to give away to help them back out of the hole they dug.
No, well, that's good. Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, Ken, what do you think about this? Speaking of that, digging the, you know, when they're screwing the fans over, does it bother you? Did you think about this at all? What do you think they're going to do this time to bring the fans back? What ridiculous idea or name change?
They're going to open the doors. What they're counting on, and I think I said this last time, is they don't want casual fans. If they come, that's nice. But they don't care about casual fans. They don't care about growing the game. They'll expand to cities that don't want hockey. They don't care. What they care about is that the core fans, that the customers they can count on, are going to come back. They do it every time. They will do it this time. If the only thing that will ever make real change is if they come back and they're playing in front of empty chairs. And it's not going to happen. It's so not
in the big markets. It won't happen.
No, well, no, not in any markets.
Well, Phoenix, Columbus, Dallas, the places that were already shitholes before all this stuff started. Well, it's going to be even.
Well, let's put it this way: they're not going to play in front of any more empty chairs than they already do.
Yes,
the people who come are going to come again because they've proven it every single time, and you know that's on the fans. If you are upset about it and you go to games when they come back. I mean, I know your situation is different because you're a season ticket holder. I mean, you could resell. I'm not going to say the S word, but you can resell yours on the secondary market.
Exactly, sir. It's not scalping. But the Blackhawks are letting me do it. Clearly not scalping. It's reselling.
Clearly.
That's right. But, fan to fan.
But if you're a fan that's sitting there and you don't, you know, you're not in that position and you go to a game, you're basically encouraging the next lockout because you're showing, do what you want. You know, I'll be mad about it. I'll jump up and down. I'll tweet terrible things, and then I'll go back. You know, unless people finally have enough, this is going to happen again and again and again.
I think you're going to see some things happen at these games when it comes back.
And
there's, you know, hockey fans are weird, but, there's a lot of angry people, a lot.
But what are they going to do? They're going to pay their $75, $85, $95, $225 for their seats and then boo? Do you think anybody cares?
They're going to turn their back to the game, Ken. They're going to stand and face the wall.
Ooh, if Batman walks into any fucking arena, then...
You know what the owners will see if people turn their backs? Wallets.
They're going to steal them.
Yeah, they're just going to go, oh, I already got X amount out of you. Come on back next week and turn your back and boo me again. Nothing speaks louder than a dollar. And you can go and you can hold up any sign. You can make any stupid protest. You can circle the building, you know, people dressed as dollar signs, you know, whatever you want to do. But if you're going through the gate and paying money for a ticket, you are telling them, do it again.
Well, that's true. But... Then it's going to come again. What are they going to do to bring the fans back? Is it going to be...
They're going to write thank you fans on the ice.
Yes. On the ice.
You're the best. This time, you're the best is going to be what they...
They're going to underline it twice this time. No, seriously, yeah. You guys are the best.
Exclamation points and the circle at the bottom of each exclamation point is the NHL logo.
Maybe they'll get rid of fighting, Mike, because all the fans out there hate fighting. That'll be what they're going to bat. Sure. Mm-hmm. All those fans out there, like those casual fans that Ken doesn't like to see, the owners.
They're going
to
replace the third period with a shootout.
To that point, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if they. There was talk of that, the idea of trying to do the 4-on-4 and then do like a 3-on-3 and then do a shootout. It wouldn't surprise me if they tried something like that. I mean, I'm not sure if they could put that in now, but.
Best thing they ever did to try to bring fans around was take away the two-line pass. Or no two-line pass. Take that away.
But don't you think that the elimination of the two-line pass has opened up the game and led to some of these hits that are causing the concussions?
We don't care about players.
Yes.
So, you know, they'll bring somebody else in. Fresh skull.
We're not dealing with Roger Goodell here. Who cares about the player safety? I don't care about that.
All right, breakaways are fun.
There you go. They can all right. Let's speed up the game. Let's get rid of offsides. It's wide open. Go cherry pick.
How about
Patrick Kane to cherry pick? I'm cherry pick.
How about instead of overtime, they just put out that board on top of the goal that they use for the shootout between the periods,
like the United
and just have
United Airlines thing they do with a
Coca-Cola. Yeah,
one. Yeah, that one that, like, 12-year-old, you know, hockey players make all the time.
And that's the thing. You instead of – you bring
or
out the same
hot
people.
Chick out there that ever held a hockey stick sometimes gets it through there. I don't understand
You bring
that.
The same people out that you bring out between periods, and they decide the game. Put the game in the fans' hands.
For 5 points. 5 points for a shootout win. Then.
Well, if you make it in the middle one.
Yeah.
It's only 3 if you get it in either of the side holes.
Well,
it just put up the tent and just get the goofy music and the clowns, because it's not but a circus.
You know, if it was me, and I was an owner, especially, you know, okay, let's say I was Jeremy Jacobs and I was in Boston. I know because, you know, obviously with him being sort of the ringleader in the eyes of some of the fans out there of the lockout, since he's kind of tied to the hip with Bettman. What if you're the Bruins and you start marketing your own Down with Jacobs t-shirts, of course with the Boston Bruins logo and the NHL logo on there, and to even get some of these fans or suckers out there to pay $25 for a t-shirt.
It would work.
Oh, I definitely.
It would work.
I could see fans saying Down with Jacobs, or, you know, I side with the players, you know, players forever or whatever, you know.
I paid
for the
space.
Players, not you kind of thing. Oh, yeah.
You have a t-shirt with Bettman's face on a dartboard, you know, or his face or him being flushed down a toilet or something.
Somebody did that in Canada. I forget who the fuck it was.
Well, I see, but I would be thinking, hey, you know, the team could produce these things. They sell them at the arena, you know, because look, anything sold at the arena has got to be, you know, 20 or 30% more than it'd be anywhere else in the world. You know, you got $30-$45 t-shirts all of a sudden at, you know, at the United Center. You know, I paid for Taves, not you, McDonough, not you, Wirtz. Something like that.
I think Bettman's going to have the balls to come out on any freaking ice rink.
Oh, you're talking about for, like, the cup or something like that? Well...
Yeah, or even, like, no All-Star game, but, I mean, during the playoffs and shit.
He would come out in that Pope-mobile.
Like Patricio did, yeah.
Nice. That's perfect.
Yeah, just bulletproof glass. That's it. Just so long as we have that, you know.
Maybe they should use somebody like Gretzky or something like that for the first year or two to kind of pass out the cup to the winning
Jeremy Roenick.
There you go. Yeah. Fan favorite, Jeremy. Yeah. Guy who's never...
Love it.
He's made no enemies in this league. All right.
He certainly didn't have that quote telling people to stay home in the last lockout.
Oh, man.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, this time around, he's selling a book and glad handing with people like in Arlington Heights for 3-4 hours at a time. So.
Oh, shit. He knows where the money's at now.
Yeah. All these fans were suckers out there. Yeah, exactly.
I just so happen to have his quotes from the 2004-2005 lockout right here.
I remember he was pretty damn stupid.
We're going to try to make it better for everybody, period. End of subject. And if you don't realize that, then don't come. We don't want you at the rink. We don't want you in the stadium. We don't want you to watch hockey. Oops. I say personally to everyone who called us spoiled, you guys are just jealous. Sure. they probably were.
They were jealous.
I'm not saying he's wrong.
Can't judge, Ken. You know that from Adam Cole's show. Can't judge.
Can't judge. Everyone's right. Everyone's special. Everyone's a diamond. But this time, he say, oh, I regret my role in the last lockout. You know. Because he has no horse in this race.
I forget who was. Yeah, Roenick, I think, had more stupid quotes than Ozzie Guillen did in the, was it the 94 lockout?
That was a strike, brother.
Strike, yes.
Trying to tell me that Ozzie Guillen had stupid quotes? Is that what you're trying to tell me right now?
Imagine that.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to hang up the phone right now.
It went something like, fuck the fans. The fans don't matter.
Yeah, sounds like him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do have some statistics for you if you want.
Oh, go ahead.
I looked up. It's pretty hard to find a lot of these European and Russian league statistics, but the KHL you can find pretty easily. And in the top 10 players, there are 5 recognizable names. Evgeny Malkin is second in the league right now with 54 points. Alexander Radulov is third. Alex Ovechkin, fifth. Ilya Kovalchuk, sixth. And Pavel Datsyuk is 10th. Everybody else I don't think you'd recognize. The interesting thing I found was at number 14, there was a tie at 30 points each between former Chicago Wolves player Tim Stapleton and former Blackhawk Brandon Bochenski.
Mm.
16 goals already for Bochenski.
Wow.
he was on one of those legendary teams on the Hawks in 2006-2007.
Yeah.
when I think I might have had like six games with the team. I can't remember.
Let's see. Is Pavel Datsyuk ever going to get old?
Yeah, but is he ever going to suck? That's the thing.
Yeah, how old? He's got to be. Isn't he like 38?
Not sure.
I think he's up there talking about him retiring, weren't they?
Yeah, that was probably Lindstrom.
Now, all them fucking, all them Red Wings say they're retiring. They play four more years.
Trying to bring up Wikipedia because that's the only way you'll ever know. Pavel Datsyuk is 34.
Hold on.
Yeah, 2008.
Got to do a little back of the envelope math there, Ken.
Yeah.
Wow.
34 years old, born July 20th,
1978. That's it?
I thought
he was older.
No, he just looks older.
Well, they start playing when they're 18 in the league, Mike. I mean, geez.
Yeah, well, he's just been beating the Hawks for so long.
Yeah. Well, you should be thankful if they're having all these lockouts and season cancellations. That way, you don't have to watch it.
You know,
that adds some time to your career.
It's going to be nice
to play in the KHL, which I think is a no check league, isn't it?
What? How?
Most of those European pussies.
We don't care.
You know what's going to be nice about this? If they, I mean, look at the positives here. They do play like a 42-game schedule, 50, whatever the hell they're going
to
do. Yeah,
it'll be closer to 50. They're going to cram them in there.
Yeah.
Double headers. I'm calling it.
You won't have as many guys fatigued when it comes
day to day-night, so they don't get tired. Day-night doubleheader, but still.
They'll be back to riding the buses.
It'd be, I don't know, a little bit. It'd be nice to see guys a little more fresh come playoff time.
I'm not sure you're going to see that.
Yeah,
at all.
No, I don't think.
I think it's going to be the
cramming 50 games into a month. I don't think they're going to be very.
No. I mean, I would probably think you're going to see a lot more guys getting injured, a lot more, you know, like hamstring, groin injuries, whatever it is, and
fatigue-related injuries.
48 is not 82.
Yeah, I know, but you're probably looking
but
at
two,
probably
two
looking
months
having
is not six.
Yeah, well, you're probably looking at having to play at least four games a week. Or at the minimum three for sure. I mean, four games a week would be 16 in a month, obviously. And for 4 months, you got
Though they usually play three games a week now. So I mean, if they're going to try to condense a season, they're going to have some pretty rough stretches.
Well, certainly less travel though, because they'll be just playing conference only and mostly probably divisional type games.
Yeah, I think mostly just teams in your own state.
Hey!
I thought it was kind of nice of the Blackhawks to medically clear Hossa to play, so they wouldn't have to pay him anymore.
Well, he's fine now.
Yeah. So they cleared him, and now he's locked out.
That's right. Find your doctor.
You're okay, sorry, son. Get the fuck
sorry
out.
About your skull. You don't look for a check.
Don't call us.
Yeah.
We'll let you know when to come back. All right. So I guess we've kind of touched on a little bit, but I figure we can kind of look through some of the main sort of bullet points of this proposal thing here today and kind of just give some brief opinions on it. So the main thing, the league's looking for a 10-year deal with opt-outs after 8 years. It seems like the union initially was looking for, I think, an 8-year deal with opt-out after six, you know, a shorter period of time, obviously, so they could potentially, if this deal goes bad for them, try to renegotiate faster. The league obviously looking for a longer-term deal so they can kind of prove to the fans that there won't be one for a while, and obviously to them, more importantly, the sponsors, that this, you know, it's good to come back for a while.
Right, and they have a longer time to plan the next lockout.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, well, should have learned from the next one.
Okay, they are talking about a 50-50 revenue split between clubs and players, which obviously we've known as
a shocker.
You've known that. They're still offering the $300 million in make-whole payments outside the system to compensate the players. Somebody said this, it might have been on the score, but That does seem like such a strange hockey parlance, you know, make hole. Who's make hole? I can just imagine like Bob Pulpert saying that, oh, Black Hawk's make hole.
Yeah, but he was talking about ice fishing.
You know, you make sit hole. Down, you make hole, you fish.
So they're still proposing offering no rollbacks in the actual player salary. Salary cap for this shortened season would be $70 million, and then next year it'd be down to $60 million.
Yeah, that's obviously bullshit.
Well, I mean,
one of the things I made a note on because.
The only way to get to 50-50 is to lower the cap. That's what right. They want. I mean, they want less salary.
You gotta do it by $10 million in a fucking year.
Well,
it's gotta happen sometime, Mike. Why not? No better time than the present.
When the cap goes up, it doesn't go up more than $3 million at a time, right?
Yeah. Usually, it goes up $3 or $4 million, depending. Or, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes it's like gas prices; they go up a quarter a gallon and go down 3 cents.
Well, speaking to that, the next point followed by that is they are offering each club will be entitled to execute up to one compliance buyout prior to the 2013-2014 season. So basically, the teams can buy out the player and still have to pay the player's money, but it will not count against the team's salary cap, but that money will come out of the player's share of hockey-related revenue, which is something kind of different to discuss. But so basically, each team would get we fucked up, this guy's got to go kind of thing.
Yeah, bad contract flush.
Yeah, so
what are they going to do in Minnesota? Do they sign those deals with no intention of paying them?
No. Well, I mean, they're certainly not going to buy out those two guys. I mean, obviously, there might be some, you know, some kind of escrow related, you know, where they lose some money in that regard. But yeah, that's
both those guys. Their cap hit was it's still quite big. It was about six, wasn't it?
Well, their cap hit was high, but they got a huge, like, it was 15 or 16 or certainly north of $10 million signing bonuses. That's kind of the new thing now, is to give the guys all their money in a bonus. That way it doesn't really count as much against the cap. But
yeah, it's the NFL thing, you know. You don't guarantee any money, but you guarantee the signing bonus, you know.
Well,
that's the thing, too, about the guys that signed, you know, to those deals. They got their signing bonus money. You know?
Exactly.
They're not getting game checks, but they're fine, you know.
No, unless your guys like Brian Urlacher, after 3 years, I'll rip my contract. It's bullshit. A lot of money. yeah, I signed a deal.
Never mind. I was going to read this one, but it's pretty long. Let's just talk about the pension plan, which really doesn't have anything to do with right now. The rules for entry-level system, salary arbitration, and Group 3 unrestricted free agency was going to stay the same, so apparently that's good. I know there was talk of kind of changing that a little bit. So this is one thing I know, Mike, I think you and I talked about earlier before we came on the air here, that the contract lengths will be 6 years now as opposed to the initial five they were offering, and teams would be able to sign their own player for up to 7 years.
I think that's fair. I mean, if you want to stop doing what they're doing with the cap, was it a 10-year deal or was it a 12-year deal?
Love it.
Either way, they really. I thought they were going to void Kosa's contract because it was clear what they were doing. Now, if they want to stop that, yeah, you make a 6-year max for these guys. Seven if it's your own guy. But the thing is, how can you sign a hockey player to a 10-year contract thinking he's going to be healthy?
Well, they don't. That's why the deals are structured where the guy gets 10, you know, 10 million, 10 million, 10 million, 10 million, then tonight's 3, 2, 1, you know, half a million dollars at the end.
$40,000 in the last 2 years of the deal.
Yeah, so the guy retires, then, you know.
It's just done to spread out the cap.
Spread out the money, yeah, because the salary cap hit is determined by the average amount of the deal. So that's why the year started going, you know, like Rick DiPietro, 15, 17 for Kovalchuk or whatever the deal was, so.
So all that's going to turn into is all that's going to do is introduce the sign and trade to hockey,
which is something that they do talk about here. We'll get to that in a minute. In addition, year to year salary, they're talking about it can go. Let's see, will be limited up or down to no more than 10% of the value of the first year of the multi-year standard player contract. So that's kind of the point we just talked about of, you know, trying to stop the team from, you know, giving you $10 million, $10 million, $5 million, and all of a sudden it's $3 million, then all of a sudden it's, you know, nothing at the end of the deal, trying to kind of nip that in the bud too. This is one that's somewhat interesting here. Money paid to players on NHL contracts who play like in the AHL or the they're playing in Russia or something like that, will be charged against the NHL's team cap. So I guess as a this example to people listening out there, like when the Hawks have had a couple of guys that they've just tried to, like Cristobal Huey, for example, yep. guys that just tried to bury and stash in the minor leagues. You know, the Hawks have still been paying him his contract, his money, but his $5 million cap there, $4.5 million, whatever it was, did not count against the team. So now they're trying to change that as well. So trying to make the teams basically pay, you know, literally and figuratively in this case, for their bad deals here.
That I don't. Well, it's gonna be hard to do that, knowing what they're. You know, they want the cap to go down that much. You're gonna have to do that when you drop the cap by $10 million a year.
Go ahead.
But I like that because that's one of the stupid loopholes that have led them to spend like idiots anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if they're taking away some of these escapes that they have, then maybe they will actually start to think a little more realistically when it comes to signing guys, you know, not doing these ridiculous contracts, knowing that they can just bury a guy in Rockford or sell him off to Russia. You know, you're still paying, but you're not charged, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. I hope that happens.
There's another one here which I don't even want to read because it's too much legalese to figure out. Here's something interesting: the ability for clubs to retain/allocate salary and cap charges in the context of player trades within specified parameters. So that basically that reads to me as if they're talking about trading cap space in deals.
Yeah, like what happens in basketball. You've got to make your deal work financially,
yeah, exactly.
Not just player-wise.
Yeah. So essentially, you know, if you're the Blackhawks and you got, you know, like, for, you know, for example, we talked about having to get down, something like that, or in some cases, you know, if they're looking to free up $5 or $6 million, if you can trade a guy away to a team that's got, say, $12 million in cap space, so, okay, you know, you take our guy who's got $6 million contract, then you give us also your $6 million in space back, or that's how it seems like it would work. So obviously, without knowing what the quote-unquote specified parameters are, it's a little vague.
And yeah, but it sounds like you can't trade a $17 million guy for three minor leaguers.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's – go ahead.
That's also a good thing in my book.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, it seems like it's really more of being able to trade cap space to teams who need cap space. But we'll see how that actually kind of shakes out. Talking about revenue sharing, a more robust league-wide revenue sharing, increased pool from approximately $150 million to $200 million. There's a lot more legalese after that, but revenue sharing, I don't know. I don't really think it's going to make much of a difference outside of trying to help teams not lose money. I don't think they're going to quite see like a baseball situation where, you know, it's the Royals or the Pirates and they're just putting the money in their pocket kind of thing. I think it's just going to be to try to help teams not lose as much money probably.
Speaking of that, did you see this article out there about they want to do the lottery draft, pretty much like the NBA does?
Yeah.
I like that idea because, you know, the teams that are like Columbus, they're not trying to build an organization anyway. They're going to get the number one pick, and when they got to pay them, they're going to trade them or let them go. So, you know what? Why not give it to a team?
Still there, Mike?
Oh, sounds like your new and improved Skype is having some issues.
No, I had to hit the mute button. I got a screaming baby upstairs I can hear.
Uh-oh.
What, yeah.
Voicing her opinion over the lockout?
Oh, no, that's him. That's the new young one.
Oh, well, then definitely voicing her. Oh, the new younger one. As I say, yeah. If it was the oldest, then he'd definitely be voicing his opinion over the lockout.
He keeps asking me why Patrick Kane ain't out there. I'm explaining it to him, and he just looks at me cross-eyed.
Tell him he's grounded.
Grounded anyway.
In Switzerland with his mom.
Oh, there it is.
By the way, Patrick Kane, 11 goals and 8 assists in 17 games for EHC Beal.
That's not too bad.
Did you mention that former Hawk Sammy Lepisto was waived by his team, whatever team he was playing for? He was waived by a team. I saw that. That's horrible. just quickly, Mike, to the point you brought up. So the language here says, implementation of a weighted draft lottery in which all non-playoff teams compete for opportunity to choose first overall in the annual draft. So, yeah, it'd be similar to what the NBA does, where they basically have a draft lottery, and obviously it'd be weighted more in favor of the teams who had the worst record, but just in a sense to kind of stop teams from just, you know, theoretically tanking games or sitting guys out to try to, you know, to try to guarantee themselves the top pick if something really good's coming out or going to be available.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really see what's wrong with that, really. I mean,
I like it.
I guess the only flaw would be the one time when some kind of, you know, your quote unquote big market team all of a sudden gets the number one pick one year. It's like, people are going to cry foul and cry rigged, but whatever. Whatever.
Well, it would be like the Red Wings to not make the playoffs one year and get the best player in the freaking world. The next Wayne Gretzky.
Like when the Bulls got Derrick Rose, they had like a 0.0 chance of getting him.
Yeah.
Awesome, they got him. Let's see.
One thing you know for sure is it would never be a situation where it's fixed. Okay?
Mm.
Just so we can all agree on that.
Not when lawyers are.
All of these draft situations, all these lottery situations are completely on the up and up. And, you know, this lockout is about a lot of things, but it's not about that, okay?
No, it's not.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, the teams are always in the room when they've got lawyers there. Everything's always on the up and up.
Yeah, there certainly aren't any frozen cards with logos in a hopper or bent envelopes or anything like that.
What?
Sorry, that's the NBA.
Exactly.
The Patrick Ewing situation.
Well,
by the way, I don't know. Did I tell you did I already talk about my zero game season? Did I talk about that last time?
I don't think so.
My solution is no matter – they don't even have to come to an agreement about a regular season. In my book, they just take all 30 teams' logos, put them in envelopes, put them in the hopper used for the Patrick Ewing NBA draft, and pick 16 of them, and those are your playoff teams, and the seeding is in the order they were drawn. Do it. I say do it. A zero-game regular season Stanley Cup champion.
You know what? I actually have I'm not going to say this is a better idea.
No, certainly. Say it. Say it. I want you to believe it, even if it's not true.
Oh, got a little, like Mike Murphy in it. Guys, say it like you mean it. actually,
fans, you know, talking to fans.
Well, you know, they're always, you know, as we saw with baseball, and they tried to make the All-Star game count, you know, by making it real. You know, this time it's for real now, as they say.
Yeah.
This time it counts.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I couldn't remember the saying. This time it counts. Yeah. Maybe when it comes to the draft lottery system, maybe, you know what, when the season's over, you pick the guy. You know, well, I got the past couple of years, it's been Zdeněk Chara with the hardest shot, or maybe one of the guys who wins like the target shooting contest. You know.
Yeah.
So you take him out there on the ice, So say there's 15 teams or 16 teams, whatever it's going to be in the lottery, and each team gets their logo on the puck, and then you just, you know, dump all the pucks out on the ice. So of course they have to conveniently land on the black on the side that doesn't have the logo on there, and then just have the guy start shooting the pucks randomly at the net, and then that's the order of the draft lottery. Then, okay, not smart, not exactly interesting. Okay, it could be interesting on YouTube.
You could make a 3-hour special out of it. Again,
there's plenty of commercials. Yeah.
Listen to me. Get the Patrick Ewing NBA draft hopper. Put all the teams in there. You select the order that they shoot. Bring out again the United Airlines between periods board. Put it over a net. They just start shooting at it. First team gets in, number one pick. Next team that gets it in, number two pick. Until everybody got one in, or at least 29 of them, because then the 30th guy knows that he's last.
To me, that sounds okay. Well, I know you don't watch the NBA, but on their All-Star weekend, they have like a shooting contest where they have like one NBA player, one WNBA player, and then one like quote unquote legend. Who would you have shooting these pucks? Would it be like a current player on the team, a fan, maybe a past player to kind of bring some history into it, or maybe get this, some kind of reality TV star to bring all the television eyes to it? Huh? How about that?
I say it's a combination of everybody. Like, let's just say this year it would be all of One Direction, Snooki. Then you can have maybe a pro wrestler out there. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan out there.
He's always great. Sure.
You know, and John Kruk. You know, just make it fun. Make it fun.
Well,
and then you sprinkle in some guys like Bobby Hull and, you know, Phil Esposito and guys like that. You know, just a random selection of just the most comical people you can find.
Well, I guess one last thought on, or at least an idea on that topic would be, it would probably have to depend on what network's going to air it, which I guess would have to be NBC at this point.
Right.
So maybe they can take some of the their quote-unquote
stars.
Yeah, the stars of their hot new programming. You know, Fox always has the hot actors out there at the Super Bowl and the baseball games. And
yeah,
like, hey,
you'd have Seth MacFarlane come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how about some of those guys on that, what does NBC have, that Chicago Fire or Law and Order guys? How about some of those dudes get out there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. See, this is going to bring the fans back, Mike. It's going to bring them back.
Yeah. All right.
Whoever's hosting Dateline NBC, you know, just sprinkle them in. Make it fun.
How about the band from Saturday Night Live? Can they get in on this thing? Lauren Michaels get on this thing?
And then some Saturday Night Live legends, like a Chris Kattan.
Or Mike Myers. Oh, because
He would shoot for Toronto, obviously.
That's right. Okay.
I got a couple of oddball stories to get to.
All right.
I've got one, too. So I don't know. Whenever you want to start the oddball
story. Yes, because in a few minutes, I got to leave for about 5 minutes here.
Okay.
Some chaos going on in the house.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell your oddball story? Then after that, we can talk some more about this hot CBA.
I found these on Puck Daddy. Brought these up. Yahoo. Anybody hear about this goofy Penguins fan from Columbus who will not shave her legs through this whole fucking strike?
I saw it on Twitter, but I didn't read the story.
Yeah, she claims she's doing it to make everybody around her suffer as much as she is. Now, I know hockey fans are strange, but you know what? That's not doing a damn thing besides making her nasty.
In all of this, I can guarantee you one thing. I bet she's hot.
Yeah. Well, they just showed her hairy legs on the photo. I didn't see her.
Did they give her a name? You could just look her up on the internet.
Yeah, you could Facebook.
Yeah, where the fuck is it? I got.
Well, I'm not sure if we want to give it out on the air, but if you want.
Yeah, just the first name, because I bet it's something hot like Gladys.
We don't want to be liable for any kind of trouble, any malcontents
exactly.
Sent their way. I know Ken's family listens to the show. Any troublemakers.
Just the first name and any nicknames she might have.
I will send you guys a link right now.
Oh, that's not going to do me any good.
All right.
I'm not looking at your link, but I'm going to go to my oddball story.
Okay.
Two former NHL players arrested for fighting at Jack in the Box. The Laguna Beach Coastline Pilot reports that former Anaheim Ducks forward Jean-Francois Jompf and former Toronto Maple Leafs forward Rich Costello were arrested on suspicion of assault after getting in an altercation with a car full of area youth at a Jack in the Box restaurant. According to the story, Jompf and Costello cut in line at the drive-thru ahead of the car full of kids. This may come as a surprise, but alcohol is believed to have played a factor in this incident. But what set them off? A little sign language miscommunication, if you will. One of the kids in the Jetta did a hand gesture like, hey, what's up? And Jompf got angry, got out of the cab, and went to the guy. Costello went to restrain him, but he was pretty upset, and he shattered the back window of the car. In case you don't remember, Jompf played 4 seasons in the NHL with Anaheim, Phoenix, and Montreal. Costello was a second-round pick of the Leafs back in 1981 and played just 12 career games with Toronto. Now they'll be known as the guys who got in a fight in a fast food drive-thru. You can take the guys out of the game, but you can't take the game out of the guys, right?
Oh, man. The only thing missing was them in a strip club doing coke up a horse ass.
Oh, it's a family show now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, what else do hockey players do?
It's a family show, so
I'm getting
off
mixed,
a horse
I'm getting mixed up
shoulder.
With all the Russian hockey players the Hawks used to have.
Boy. Ken,
those guys, man. If you ever want to go out and have a drink, you go with them.
What's that, Ian?
Does that story remind you anyway of a Dairy Queen incident you may or may not know about? Involving the Louisville Slugger, Jim Cornette, and the Dairy Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys. Give me a couple minutes here. Just go on.
All right. Very good. For those the uninitiated in the world of professional wrestling, just go on YouTube, type in Jim Cornette, Dairy Queen, and enjoy that video of a very excited and angry Southerner not getting his Dairy Queen cheeseburgers after waiting in line for 30 minutes because they thought they were joking because of the size of the order. Take the kids out of the room, though, if you're going to play that on. All right, so let's get back to this hot CBA talk. Quickly, let's touch on a couple other quick topics here that I guess seemed of note. It's sad that Mike's not here for this. There will be new player discipline procedures and protocol incorporating player appeal rights to a neutral third-party arbitrator for both on-ice and off-ice discipline.
Oh, the Shanahammer has been disabled.
Well, it's somewhat a little vague the way it's read, so I don't know if that basically just means that Shanahan would still hand down the discipline, and then if the player and his agent or the team or whatever it is don't like it, they can go to a third party now as opposed to just,
That's the way I read it. So now Shanahan is mom, and then the kids go to dad. So, he can still drop the hammer, but the hammer can get picked up.
How about this? Let's see. Continued increases in league minimum salary and per diem. That's exciting.
Yeah, because then they can go to Jack in the Box with their per diem, and, you know, only good things happen at the drive-thru in Jack in the Box.
Here's more better news. All minor league salary will be paid in U.S. dollars. That's also good.
That is good, although some people would say that the Canadian dollar is a better option lately.
There is a semicolon, so maybe there's a chance that could be changed. I don't know. You guys kind of talked about the player quote-unquote working condition improvements.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of touched on that. The extended Christmas break, ice time restrictions, and mandatory days off. That's okay. That's not really interesting. Mandatory facility standards for visiting teams relating to training. Let's see, training, medical supplies, workout equipment, and dressing room standards and supplies. Are there any, just crap holes in the league anymore? I mean,
That seems to be an antiquated thing, unless there's something going on that we don't know about. Because, you know, it used to be, like, at the Olympia in Detroit and at Chicago Stadium, you know, even the home team's dressing room was no great shakes, but the visiting dressing room was a pit.
I'm trying to think of any kind of older. I mean, like, how old's like the Saddle Dome? Is that like what, 20, 30 years old now, Saddle Dome, or how old is that?
Yeah, probably so. At least 30, because I remember them in the 80s playing there. So
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of some of the teams that might have an older stadium, because, you know, there's so many teams now that share a building with an NBA team, and a lot of the NBA teams got newer buildings.
Yep. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I would have to look that up. I don't know offhand who's got the oldest buildings anymore.
Maybe this is just sort of dedicated to one team. Maybe the Red Wings playing at the Joe.
Yeah, they fix the visiting dressing room.
It'll be like Major League. We're not getting hot water in here, man.
They're big boys. Tough it out.
Let's see. Implementation of quote unquote breast. I'm sorry, breast. Best. There could be breast as well. This is hockey we're talking about.
Road teams.
Best practices and continued league initiatives to ensure optimal ice conditions. What does that really mean? How is that possibly going to be enforced?
What are you gonna do in June when the fog comes up in Buffalo? You know.
I guess the players are going to have to walk in with their 300-page document of the CBA with it highlighted to that page and say, we're not playing, this is bullshit, and walk out.
They'll be like Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. You are in clear violation of the roommate agreement.
This is interesting. Establishment of annual orientation and development program for rookies' first-year players, which is, I guess, shocking that they haven't had that already to a certain degree. That's something that, you know, the NBA has and NFL has for guys coming out of college to try to tell them, you know, hey, you know, don't be fuck-ups, save your money, don't have guns, don't kill each other. Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. But interesting that we're kind of just getting to that now. It seems a little strange. Well, here we go. We talked earlier about player health and safety measures. That's exciting. Here we go. the establishment of a joint NHL-NHLPA health and safety committee with equal representation from the NHL and NHLPA. Because we've seen how well both of these parties work together in meeting rooms. A committee of all these fine minds, I'm sure, will be good. The establishment of standard of care and professional duty obligations owing from... You're back?
Yes.
Oh, great, Mike. I'm reading to Ken some of the great talk about player health and safety measures here.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That, like, that really matters and they care.
Oh, well, listen, no. there are seven bullet points here. So they're working on it.
Listen before you judge.
Exactly. The establishment of minimum requirements for health management, staffing, and resources.
See?
Usually whenever you get something that says minimum requirements, they're going to do the bare bones. They're not going to go above and beyond that, so that's usually not good. The establishment of standards for the creation, updating, and maintenance of electronic medical records for players. Again, it's 2012, 2013. Everyone's got an iPad or an iPod now. Are you being telling me everyone's still using pen and paper in the NHL? I mean, I know it's Canada and things are slow sometimes for the league, but...
Walgreens has to have their medical records online. Okay?
Oh, this is interesting. Mike, are you listening to this one, buddy?
Yes, I am.
Okay, this is right up your alley. Implementation of additional steps and safeguards to monitor the use and possible misuse of prescription medication by players.
Again, Walgreens needs to have.
Now,
I am. I hurt my back at work.
Now, curiously, it does just say players here. No mention of coaches.
Or fans.
Trainers, ownership.
Because I see one right now that could seriously start abusing some muscle relaxers.
Vikings better. He's not going to do that much.
The last and final one.
I don't feel nothing.
Last and final one is increased flexibility for players for rehabilitation of injuries during the offseason. So that seems like a fine idea. Again, some of these seem perhaps are just written in such a way that they're just broken down for the idiots out there like me. But these seem all very straightforward and simple, and you make it go, well, why weren't these already there? I mean, is this just an idea where you've just kind of created these and changed the language, and then because the way it's kind of written here, it says this is a new CBA article devoted exclusively to player health and safety. So perhaps these things already existed, and now they're just kind of creating its own sort of chapter or section in the CBA about it. But that's kind of about it here.
Just making official the things that were sort of taken for granted.
Mike, you are our expert on drug tests. Is that correct, sir?
He can name them all.
Well, it does say here there will be improvements to existing performance-enhancing substances programs, including the establishment of testing protocol for HGH, the establishment of protocol for, quote, reasonable cause testing, end quote.
If Kaner gains 12 pounds, he's got to be worried.
Yeah. How about this? This is a little bit like the world of professional wrestling. Varied forms and times of testing throughout the year. So basically, you'll be tested at random. You won't know when. They're just going to show up at the building, dude, and tell you to go pee in the bathroom, man. Bring it out there.
You can't time your cycles anymore.
No.
No. All right, that's a whole new world.
You're back, Mike? You had to leave something? So?
Yes.
Wow, so you mean we wasted all those drug testing Mike should know jokes?
Yeah. You weren't here.
Darn it.
Bummer.
We're going to say them all over again.
No, that's okay. Oh. Basically, Mike, they're talking about instituting HGH testing and then some kind of random drug testing. Another thing interesting here, there will be a formation of a new revenue-sharing oversight committee to oversee the operation of the revenue-sharing system. This sounds to me like the federal government, like a lot of jobs all of a sudden being created and a lot of pensions all of a sudden having to be paid for by the teams now or the players now. Ridiculous.
I don't agree with those pensions. You know what? Yeah, maybe some of the lower-end guys that end up playing for a couple of years and not going to be set for life, but a lot of these guys, if they're smart with their money, I mean, I'm supposed to come up with my own pension. Why the hell can't they? I don't make.
So are you suggesting the implementation of a set for life clause?
Yeah.
Once you reach a cumulative career wage level to be determined.
If you've made $20 million in your life, shut up.
Pay for your own doctor.
Yeah.
How about this one? Players provided access to NHL.com platform for their individual player websites and social media.
They can't buy their own website on GoDaddy?
Well, it seems to me more like it's kind of reading that the players would have access perhaps to, like, you know, video from NHL.com or, similar, like how the MLB is kind of real Nazi with, like, you know, they don't want anybody using their stuff except them. I think that's somewhat similar to what it's talking about. No offense to the Nazi fans out there. I don't mean to offend anyone using the term Nazi there. Then lastly, I'm sorry, two final ones, and we'll get to some. I think we had a quick baseball topic we wanted to hit before we kind of wind this thing down.
Yeah.
Enhanced access to game tickets for visiting team players and NHLPA. Apparently hard to get tickets in some of these markets, apparently.
They're not checking the secondary sellers. Right? Am I right, Ian? Am I right?
They're not clicking on the ticket exchange, which is the... apparently they don't want to. This reads to me like they want to get some freebies to me. And then lastly here, NHLPA representatives to be provided reasonable access to club facilities and players at reasonable times. Which I don't even understand what they're talking about. I mean, it's
a 2 a.m. skate along to Endless Love a la Billy, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, it sounds to me like Cub executive Crane Kenny playing like baseball with his friends with the lights on at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Sounds like to me.
I could see Taser taking a chick for a skate 2 a.m. Endless Love playing.
Well, it's funny because it just says like NHLPA representatives. I guess in theory to me that means the players, but. Are we talking like some of the executive board talking like Donald Fear out there on skates? Getting out there?
Just for a birthday party.
Yeah.
Why do I just see Patrick Kane getting on YouTube doing something at Center Ice with some girl?
No. He's settling down, man, dude.
That's right. He's got mom with him, so he's not doing anything wrong right now.
And I should mention, I guess as part of this sort of proposal, they are targeting, well, if this is accepted by the players, which I don't think is going to happen, but that's a different discussion. The league is targeting the 11th for camps to open up and for the 18th to be the, I guess, start date of the season. So,
yeah, we'll see.
We'll exactly see about that.
But my question is, where is the Chunky Soup commercial with Kane and his mom? once it became known that he took his mom to Switzerland with him, the Chunky should have been on that.
His mom's probably not funny enough, like Victor Cruz's mom is, and Donovan McNabb.
Oh yeah, they're hilarious. They should have their own shows.
I'm a mascot, baby.
Mom,
eat your soup.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I don't know where to go with that. Sorry.
Comment? Okay. No comment.
Exactly. So I think we've kind of talked about
we've ridden that horse, yeah.
So in summary, there's a lot of plans here, and as they say, a lot of talk. Plans change, everybody. So I think the latest Twitter universe reports where they're going to talk via conference call tomorrow, and that there is a possible, or tomorrow I should say Saturday, to those of you who might be listening to this after that fact, and that Sunday they might try to meet in person.
Ooh.
So now if this was a podcast where we had sponsors, we can tell them, and Ken, perhaps I know you listen to a lot of podcasts, go to meeting.
I love those guys.
Go to meeting.
Go to you. Meeting. From your own PC. Anywhere in the world. Yeah. Love those guys. And get a man grate.
That's right. And man grill, too.
You can cook a nice meal with a man grate. You want to go to meeting.
Well, now the new thing's man grill, Ken. You're out of the loop, buddy.
Man-grea. I know.
You know what's the problem with this?
15,000 bottles.
What's that, Mike? Just the way the owners go about it. If something doesn't work out this weekend, they'll walk away from the table and pretty much say F you, and then what?
Well,
no, well it's over, but, you know, like this last one, they wasted.
And camps ain't opening on the 7th.
Yeah.
On the 11th.
Or the 11th. Either one, 7 or 11.
Who's listening? Who's listening? No, well, I guess one
not
final
me.
Thing. Exactly. I know I keep saying one final thing, but to that point, the one.
Seven final things.
Well, no, but this is actually sort of a larger thing we haven't talked about. The union has until the 2nd to file their disclaimer of interest to decertify the union in court. So this probably, this more than likely is going to be the final meeting here, whatever they're going to do here. And then if this breaks down, they've only got to the 2nd to file that disclaimer of interest in court to disband the union, essentially. And then we're either going to get a rather long legal battle, or we're just going to get the players caving to the owners at that point. So.
And the courts probably aren't open on the 1st. You know what I'm saying? So basically, we're talking Monday.
Well, it is the weekend here, so Lord knows. Okay, Mike, you had brought up off the air. You wanted to talk a little bit about the White Sox letting go. AJ, the catcher man.
Yes. He must be Lou Gehrig now.
So this is a controversial move in fan circles or the Twitter.
I see a lot of people pissed off about it. And they're acting like, you know, if AJ's not here, there's no chance to win the World Series. Which, you know what, he did his part in 05. The guy's a jerk. Everybody knows it, but I don't care about that. He was a jerk in 05, but good enough to win a World Series. But everybody's crying that he's gone. He went for 1 year, $7.5 million, for an aging catcher that's not good at catching and can't throw anybody out. I mean, yeah, he's a smart baseball guy and all that, but $7.5 million for him? Let him go.
Well, here's the thing. This is what I think about it. First of all, he wasn't going to take that deal from the White Sox, you know, because there's that kind of a sense of being owed something with the team that you're with. So that same offer would probably have been seen as an insult if the White Sox offered it to him. And I'm completely with them not offering him a multiple year deal, because the year he had last year, that year's never happening again.
No,
that was him.
Really
motivated
second half of the season.
But his season in total was a classic contract year season.
You don't think he was juicing, Ken?
He didn't look like it.
No.
He certainly didn't gain any size. So if there's
I want to know how he handled those home runs, Ken. Are you tell me it was hot. It was hot out there, and the ball was carrying farther. Is that how he handled those home runs?
Well, no, because he hit most of his home runs before the weather got too hot. But anyway, go.
Oh, you got Tom Skilling on the line here all of a sudden, huh?
Here's the thing. There was a nice breeze coming in from the northwest, and that brought the clouds down into a pattern that circled around U.S. Cellular Field and sort of launched the balls more towards right, which also would be accountable for Adam Dunn's career resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I'm on board with them not offering him a multiple-year deal, because that is a deal that you would regret almost immediately. But if there was any other real option at catcher, I don't think people would be as upset about him leaving. Because the idea of Tyler Flowers catching 120, 130 games a year is not a pleasant thought.
Why?
Because he is what he is, and what
he may
is,
not be a great, he's a better defensive catcher. He's not a better hitter.
But what he is,
he can throw some people out, and he can play the position a lot better.
Well, everything I've ever heard was how much in love the pitchers were with the way AJ called a game.
See, now you're hearing things different.
Well, that's all I've ever heard. I heard that stuff.
The exit tour's coming. Now you're hearing everything
else. I heard that stuff when he wasn't throwing anyone out.
Yeah, from
when I could have stolen a base off him. I was still hearing what his relationship with the pitchers, his mastery of calling a game.
He puts down the best numbers of anybody I've ever seen in this game.
Those fingers fly.
That's what Hawk said on the score a couple days ago.
Being sarcastic, because how many times you see him go into the mound, and you see about four F-bombs come out of his mouth before he gets to the mound.
Well, yeah, because they're not listening. See, that's the thing. He knows best, and they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
But well, no, it's just there is no, there's nothing that really screams next big catcher. You know what I mean? So a lot of fans miss him because of that, and because yeah, they've got the blinders now, they've got the memories, you know, kicking mm-hmm. in their head. But what they don't remember that I do is how many times he would ground a ball to second and like almost not even run at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he quit on every bat at bat he ever had, except one in the 2005 American League Championship Series.
What happened there? I forget.
Just this thing where there was a ball and it rolled and, you know, it was rolled to the mound.
And Joe Buck happened. Was disgusted.
And then suddenly, suddenly Pablo Ozuna appeared out of nowhere.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the craziest thing.
But I'll have to look it up sometime. Sure, go ahead.
But, yeah, the rearview mirror is going to be very, like, complimentary to AJ just because of, you know, the controversy and everything. And people just, they love a character, you know, just look at a moron like Steve McMichael. He still somehow is making. He somehow is making money speaking.
Well, he's going to be the mayor now. What do you know?
Romeoville. Yeah. My God.
Yeah. Again.
So obviously he's doing something right, buddy. He's going to be the mayor. What are you talking on this podcast, huh?
That's right. I'm going to be the mayor as soon as this podcast takes off.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to divorce a few people, headbutt a bunch of guys, and then that's it. I'm on my way. Give myself a name like, you know, like Doof or something. You know, just some idiot name that is easy to remember. God, that guy's the worst.
So back to EJ.
He makes Ed Obradovich sound logical.
All right, guys. I got some stuff going on here. I got to get going.
All right, Mike.
All right, Mike. Hang up the phone and, you know, try and parent, will you?
Yeah, I got to do that.
Jeez, who runs that place, huh?
My wife, but I guess it's not enough because the kid's still screaming.
Screaming for daddy. She's wondering where that hockey is.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good talking to you.
All right. All right.
Bye, Mike. Take it easy, buddy.
Later. Bye-bye.
What do you think? Can you wrap it up?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure the recording was still going, but since I am the one hosting the call, it's good. Yeah, I guess just, you're still there, right, Ken?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I just, I was looking for something on the screen, and it kind of froze up for a second, so I wanted to make sure it did not stop recording. I guess quickly just wrapping up the AJ thing here. Yeah, I think you pretty much hit it right on the head. It's just a matter of fans have the memories of him being, you know, the World Series catcher. They obviously he had a real good, you know, at least numbers-wise, a good season last year. Right. He's the hard-nosed attitude, you know, kicking ass, taking names guy that people yep. like. That you know the rub that rubs you know rubs the other guys the wrong way.
Controversy magnet.
Exactly. Oh, never mind. Sorry, I thought you were going to say controversy creates cash, but never mind.
No, I'm not quoting any Bischoff books.
Red equals green, brother. Okay.
That's right. Red turns to green, brother.
Getting back on discussion, and I also think to your point, there is a little bit of, oh, you know, wait a minute now. It's like, you know, it's really just money in the case of AJ's why to let him go, and then we're looking at a guy who doesn't hit very well and just strikes out a lot and then hits, you know, 20 home runs a year. That's what we're replacing him with. The fans kind of look like, what the hell are we doing? What's the plan here? And it's interesting because, I mean, there's really not that many great hitting catchers anymore. I mean, I guess for a while it's kind of been that way, especially, you know, big power hitting catchers anymore. So I think it's almost like there's going to be kind of a recalibration of the fan, of, you know, of just of baseball fans in general when it comes to catchers after a while. Cause it's going to have to be just go back to what it used to be before, just kind of more of a defensive position and whatever you get from the guy's good. But in terms of a larger picture, I'm not quite sure what the White Sox plan is. I guess they're still penning that, you know, putting that plan to paper or trying to put it into action. But
yeah, the pitching staff, I guess, seems promising, but the position players, it could easily go either way. You know, I don't see them challenging, especially with Martinez coming back for Detroit. I don't really see them as a serious challenger, but if they're right, they could be right there again. You know,
Well, it's somewhat, because I mean they got, you know, obviously they got the bad break with John Danks getting hurt last year, and then obviously you got, you know, Peavy pitching great, you got Sale pitching great. Obviously, kind of fell off a little bit towards the end of the year, kind of got tired. So
right.
Hopefully you can expect a full season of that kind of performance from him. But okay, fine. You know, is Gavin Floyd going to be here? Is Santiago or Quintana? Are those guys going to be here? If they are they going to be starting? Are they going to be able to redo, you know, what they did at the end of last season, or, you know, in Quintana's taste, or taste, I can't talk.
Taste of Quintana.
In the case of yes. Quintana, is he going to be able to replicate what he did last year? He had some good games, he had some games where he got shelled, but at least he gave you innings when you needed that the most, and what are they going to do about the bullpen? And they're basically coming back, for the most part, with the same team they had last year, outside of AJ, with the third base thing, you know, kind of being, I mean, granted.
Yeah, they better hope that Tyler Flowers provides power, because they basically have no power at third base right now.
Yeah, and granted, I mean, you didn't last year up until Euclid got here, and even then exactly. it was kind of a short burst, but
it was spotty, right?
Yeah, and you got Konerko coming off his wrist or thumb or whatever it was, surgery, to finally get rid of that problem that was bugging him last year. But he is, what, 35, 36, somewhere in that range? You know, how much longer can he keep doing that?
There has to be the decline at some point.
Exactly, yeah. And okay, so last year Rios was really, you know, the best player on the team for a very large portion throughout the full season, you know, in a lot of fans' eyes. He played great defense, you know, stealing bases, hitting all the whole package.
And but he has a reputation as
exactly
on again, off again.
Exactly. So what are you going to get from him? I mean, I guess, granted, larger picture, you can go through every team and say, okay, wait a minute, you know, this guy does this. You know, I mean, you can always have that what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah type scenario, but they've got so many question marks, especially on the offensive side of Konerko. What's he going to do? Dunn, is he back, or what the hell's going on? Rios, what the hell's going on with him? Third base.
Beckham ever going to show up?
Yeah, third base, what's going on? Second base, what's going on? I mean, granted.
Shortstop, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know who, unless there's a trade, obviously, or another, you know, or a small free agent move that happens, we know who the names and faces are. It's just, you know, is the quote-unquote real player going to stand up and show us who they are here now?
And that's I think where the tension kind of comes from with the White Sox fans, is that, yeah, you know who's going to be in what position and you know what they're capable of, but there's so many questions that you just don't feel certain about very much with the team. And, you know, you want to, especially if you're going to be investing in tickets at any point, you know, you want to have at least an idea of what you're getting.
Right.
You know, and most teams have at least some certainty, you know, good or bad. Like, you know, like the bad teams kind of know that this is what you have and you're going out to see the visiting team as much as you're going out to see the home team. And the good teams know that, you know, you're going to get this from this guy, you're going to get that from that guy. But with the White Sox, even the guys that produced last year, like you were mentioning, you don't know.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, so it's like they've almost got question marks in the starting rotation a little bit. You know, like we talked about, is Danks going to come back? Is Floyd going to be here? Are the younger guys going to, you know, are those guys going to be here? If they are, can they do what they did last year?
And you even have to have some question mark about Jake Peavy at this point.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, just because he has the history of not being healthy.
Right.
Hopefully, you got to think that last year he was kind of, you know, he kind of fully came back. You got his body back in shape, but was all the pitching he did last year going to hurt him this year?
And he has gone through that before where he appeared to be back.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, you have that question. And you even have a question about Chris Sale, you know, the way he faded at the end of the year. It's not really a given that because he went through it last year that he's going to be better prepared to go through it this year. I mean, with his frame especially, it may just be that he can get to this point and then you're going to see that happen.
Maybe they are going to increase the per diem money and give him some more food.
Yeah, just don't go to Jack in the Box.
Exactly.
Bad things happen at Jack in the Box.
And then another issue is, what are they going to do about the bullpen? I mean, obviously we saw eventually, you know, Reed became the closer last year. Right. You know, had
but
some,
not without some shaky.
Yeah, moments. Exactly. He had some good, had some bad, and you could say, okay, and, you know, rookie, you know, playoff jitters, whatever you want to say, or not playoff, but pennant race jitters, whatever you want to say. You know, obviously they're going to lose Myers out of the bullpen. You know, Crane was hurt a lot last year. What are they going to do with him?
Right.
Is Matt Thornton finally going to get traded? It's like every year he's going to get traded, it seems like. He never does.
Yep.
And then, you know, their quote-unquote savior last year at the end of the bullpen, or not savior, but at the end of the year, Donnie Veal came on. It was really their, you know, good left-handed pitcher at the end of the year.
Right.
Okay, and you know, he's not exactly a, you know, a well-known commodity. So is he just a case of where he, you know, he came up last year and, you know, as they always say, the hitters didn't know him, they didn't have the book on him. Mm-hmm. Now he's not, you know, now that all the video's out there, everyone's going to be, you know, going to know what to do with him. So there's a lot of question marks out there. I mean, I guess, again, you could say there's question marks about every team. And yeah.
But it just doesn't seem like as many.
It seems like there's so many. It seems like, especially because there's been so many rumors over the past couple of years about, you know, they talked about, you know, every year we hear Gavin Floyd's getting traded. We always hear Matt Thornton's getting traded. And, you know, I mean, you know, and one guy.
Ben Durko's going to the Angels.
Exactly. Or Arizona, if he's got that big house in Scottsdale.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like, get that big house in Scottsdale.
So I guess what we're saying is that perhaps this year's slogan for the team should be White Sox baseball. Your guess is as good as ours.
Exactly. And then one guy we didn't even talk about is Vicedo. I mean, that's somebody that they need to
make a big stride.
A huge jump. I'm sorry, I'm kind of losing my train of thought. But yeah, I mean, he's somebody they need to really step up and be who they think he can be. And obviously, the idea of him being some Frank Thomas clone is obviously nowhere near what the actual reality of what him can be, but they need
that really is an unrealistic expectation.
Exactly. But when you always hear Hawk saying this guy's got the most liveliest bat I've seen since Carlos Delgado in this. But I mean, it's like, but I mean, they need more power from him, definitely. And I mean, ideally, if he could start walking more, that would be obviously a godsend as well. But
that would help. Yeah.
At a minimum, they need him to. I mean, especially we talked about with the lack of power coming from third base, potentially shortstop, potentially second base. They need a lot more home runs. I mean, that's how you win in this league now. I mean, if you're not going to get a lot of walks, you need a lot of home runs to win in this league.
And you know, I mean, and I've been reading a lot on message boards and things like that, and the common theme that's coming up whenever this topic is brought up is, you know, they hit 211 home runs last year. You know, they outscored the Tigers and everything. Yeah, they may have cumulatively outscored the Tigers, but, you know, that didn't result in anything.
Well, one guy who was hitting a few of those home runs was Dan Johnson. My God, 3 home runs in one game into the year.
That's a lot of production they're going to miss. In my 50-plus years in baseball.
Well, I love on the score, they always play the clip of the play-by-play of Farmer calling those home runs. And I guess I'm guessing it had to be after the third one. Farmer, like, you know, not shouted, but, you know, said loudly in that Ed Farmer tone, "He's on the team next year, folks!" And obviously, as we know, that's not the case. Well, I guess there's always a chance he can always be, you know, come back later. I don't know if he signed anywhere. I don't think so, but there's always a chance he can come back later down the line if something doesn't work out the way they want it to. But
I've seen a lot of players in my 50-plus years, and I'll tell you, he's one of them.
Well, I don't know if you heard it when Mike was on the air, but, I mean, Hawk was on the score talking about the AJ thing, and he talked about, you know, he did say for a fact that AJ was one of the best guys ever saw put down the fingers, and, yeah, you know, typical bullshit. Well, I mean, you know, they're friends. There's an obvious bias there, which, I mean, well, he never admitted there's a bias, but, I mean, obviously the story is certainly well known that he's, you know, very, very tight with AJ, so it's certainly not a secret to what his connection to him is. But, yeah, he's the best putting on the fingers he ever seen in this game. He's a hard-nosed competitor, yada, yada, yada. But
he's going to be a great manager one day if he wants to be.
Exactly. But I'm sure he'll be more of a commentator. But he did mention that AJ was a very good mentor to Tyler Flowers, and Tyler's a great player, and AJ got him ready to play. So I'm sure that'll be a big narrative we hear, that how well. So, you know, if Tyler does well, we're going to hear how well AJ did it, you know, in the past couple spring trainings, you know, coaching him up and getting them to know these pitching staff and to know when to call for a fastball in this league or a straight change or a curveball.
And if he doesn't do well, it's going to be, well, he just didn't listen to what AJ was trying to tell him.
Well, I'm not sure if we'll factually hear that, but, yeah, I mean, there'll definitely be some hints out there. Like, boy, you know, last year we didn't see a lot of this kind of behavior from the pitcher staff last year. Oh, boy. Oh, okay. So, On that note, fans, we're going to get ready to sign off here. It's getting late. It's been a long show. If you do have any questions or comments out there and you want to get hold of me, you can do so at IanMartin15 on Twitter. Or if you just want to email your comments in, you can do so at GlovesOffRadio@gmail.com. Or if you want to get to us on Facebook, you can do so as well at Gloves Off Radio on Facebook.
Right now on our page on Facebook, we have a video of a Patrick Kane shootout goal where he does about 75 stick handling moves and then puts it past Corey Schneider. So that'll wet your whistle for the eventual possible resolution of this lockout.
Yeah, I did not see the video. Obviously, when it comes to like a YouTube video, usually on a website, you always have it'll be embedded and you'll see like a picture of what the video is, basically.
Yeah, that's what's up there.
Yeah. So all I've seen is the advertising all over the ice, the advertising all over
the boards.
Yeah. So,
all over the player.
Yeah. So you may need a pair of sunglasses or to avert your eyes temporarily when you start to watch the video, but.
And I know they wish there's a way that they could spray paint some advertising onto the mesh of the net. Maybe the Target logo, that would work.
We'll have to get the guys from Fat Hat on that. Maybe they can create something. Well, that's,
I can't wait to get my Donald Fear Fat Head.
I was telling you earlier, Jeremy Jacobs Fat Head, the fans can start punching the wall or something like that. There's plenty of money to be made, see? There's plenty of money to get the HRR back up when the fans don't go to the games. All right, so that's as good as note as any to end this show on. So yes. I'll give out the contact information. So if you're listening out there, which we know you are, let us know you're out there. Give us some feedback, some positive or negative feedback.
Make yourself heard.
Exactly. We're welcome to anything. And I guess with that, we're going to go. So any last questions or comments from you?
Nope, that'll do it. Thanks for listening. And if anything were to happen, we'll come back. And if nothing happens, we'll come back when they decide to kill the season.
That's right. There will be a breaking news audio update on the death or the birth of the NHL season.
As soon as they say it, we'll say it.
Exactly. You'll be the first to know from us, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to you later.
Goodbye, everybody.